Stugatz here for Advance Auto Parts. These days, it's good to be prepared, and that includes your vehicle. That's why Advance Auto Parts has free vehicle battery testing and installation with no appointment needed. Batteries start at just $79.99. They'll also have curbside pickup on any order. Enter the code DAN20 when you buy online to save 20% on your order. Advance your auto at Advance Auto Parts and participating CarQuest locations. See stores for details. Soccer is back on ESPN+. Serie A, FA Cup, MLS, and more. Plus, get original series, exclusive studio shows, and the complete 30 for 30 library. Stream soccer from the best leagues and tournaments around the world, all in HD, all on your favorite devices. The beautiful game lives on ESPN+. Sign up today at ESPNplus.com or in the ESPN app. Here's your SportsCenter update. The MLS said that 18 players and 6 staff members have tested positive for the coronavirus. Overall, 668 players have been tested since the start of full team training on June 4th with a positive test rate of 2.7%. which compares favorably to the 5.3% positive rate that the NBA recorded for its most recent round of testing of players. Rudy Gobert still has trouble smelling after testing positive for the coronavirus in March. He told French newspaper L'Equipe.
It's not only that you didn't say it right. It sounded like you started dabbling in French on the word newspaper unsuccessfully.
I did. You read that correctly. I was trying to get into some sort of like French mode there.
Right in the middle of newspaper, you threw in a French accent for some reason in the middle of the word newspaper.
It was weird.
A very bad French accent, I might add.
Of course. And finally, there will be a new Pirates of the Caribbean with Margot Robbie as the lead. Want to breathe better, sleep deeper, snore less, feel healthier? Then take my advice and try Navage. I use it every single day to clean my nose and sinuses and absolutely love it. Go to Navage.com. That's Navage.com. Or you can visit your local Walgreens, CVS, Rite Aid, Bed Bath & Beyond, or Target. For all the latest headlines and information, tune in to SportsCenter on ESPN Radio all throughout the day.
I wish the audience could have seen how the last segment ended as I was talking about white people in Boston. And then I very seriously said we will discuss with Bob Ryan of the Boston Globe next. Mike dissolved into an uncontrollable laughter, at least in part because Bob Ryan's face belongs on some of our bills. Like, Bob Ryan is the whitest of the white. Like, he is majestically white, and he is also old. So he would be exactly not the person to talk to about some of this stuff.
We will address some of Boston and its media's diversity concerns with an old white guy from Boston.
But we love Bob, man. I don't know what to tell you.
We do. That's true. We can't locate Bob right now, though, so Mike will continue to look for him. I do think, Stugatz, that we are all, over the weekend, catching a glimpse of the same videos. Tell me I'm wrong about this. Tell me that everyone who's listening right now has not seen, for example, that guy who came out in white pants with an AK, some sort of rifle, with his salmon-colored shirt tucked into the white pants, not wearing any shoes, with his wife who had no ankles and was sort of swinging a pistol around like she was James Bond, or like she was watering her lawn with a pistol. And then there's
I don't know which 007 films you've seen, but I've never seen James Bond hold his gun that way.
I'm talking about 007 with a tiny, tiny gun.
It was a tiny pistol. It was like sort of the GoldenEye small pistol in the arsenal.
So is there a third video from this weekend? Because I got this one from St. Louis, and I also got crazy grocery lady who didn't like being told to keep her mask on, and so she just started reaching into her cart and just throwing the things in her cart on the grocery store.
That was a beauty. I mean,
floor.
Oh, there are like 5 of those every day that happen. 5 brand new ones every single day. So she's not alone.
Can someone explain to me this thing with the mask? How angry are these people? How tight are they holding the steering wheel? They're going to places looking for fights. If you don't like the rules, it's 2020. You can get a lot of this stuff delivered to your door. If you have access to a car
understanding that this is an infringement. These people are behaving as if it's an un-American infringement upon their freedom when you're just asking them to please be decent in thinking about others because you don't want this thing to spread, and scientists are saying that it would be gone if we were all wearing masks.
I have a breathing condition. My doctor says I can't wear masks, so I will expose myself to this respiratory virus, lady.
Yes, that's exactly right. Billy, you seem to be among the few around here who ate up what it is that ESPN was showing last night with Don Van Natta. And when I say you're one of the few who ate it up, I don't think that most of us have seen it. But I think Mike is hungover because he watched way too much crappy sports this weekend. Like, way too much.
Whoa. You take that back. The Craftsman Truck Series absolutely delivered early Sunday morning. Crappy sports. Drama-filled day at the Tricky Triangle.
Billy, what can you tell us? Stugatz, did you end up watching Don Van Natta's backstory on the decision? Did you end up seeing any of that?
Yeah, I want to hear Billy's thoughts. I loved it. It brought back a lot of great memories, a lot of painful memories because of how painful the actual telecast was. But I loved it. I thought it was well done, and I enjoyed it. I, you know what? I don't understand the mockery of LeBron James. He was a young kid, decided to do this, was a trailblazer. But most importantly, the mockery of his shirt. I thought it was a fine-looking shirt. I really liked that shirt, Billy. I don't know about you. It was fantastic.
It was a great shirt, very relatable. Seemed like something I could get at the Gap for, you know, like $32.50, right. Maybe a bundle. I could get 2 for $50, something like that. Great shirt. Great moment in sports history. Lots of angry old men, still angry 10 years later about what LeBron did. I don't understand it. I learned that the whole thing didn't end 5 minutes in after he said, I'm taking my talents to South Beach, because as soon as he said that, I started screaming, and then I drove to La Carreta and I was celebrating with a big flag and a pot and a pan. And apparently this whole thing went on for about 3 hours and a lot of people were not happy about it, not happy about it at all. And I don't understand why. LeBron was a visionary. LeBron did these things 10 years ago that everybody's getting praised for doing today. He controlled his own message. He didn't need the media. And people are still upset about it today, still complaining about it today, even though we're praising people for doing the exact same thing today. Doesn't make any sense to me, Dan Le Batard.
Who were the old people who were objecting, still objecting to this? Who was doing that?
This was the richest part about the whole thing. So they're playing all of the clips of people getting upset and grumpy and all this stuff that was going on at the time. My favorite clip that they played was someone who was upset about what happened, and that person was none other than Bill Simmons, who pitched the idea to LeBron and his people before it happened. And then he didn't get the credit for it. And then they went and they said, oh, well, Jim Gray pitched the same idea, and they didn't update Bill Simmons on what happened. And then afterwards, he's like, this was the most heartless thing I've ever seen anybody do to a fan base. It's like, dude, you pitched this idea to them. They stole your idea. This was your idea.
What's great is, Dan, it remains the highest rated hour, non-play-by-play hour, studio show hour that ESPN has ever had. I mean, think about that. It's crazy.
I mean, of course, those students. what are you talking about? Did you see how he reacted to Cam Newton signing for the minimum? That's football. That is, I mean, there's one guy, and wherever he goes, they're going to be an instant contender in the age of the transaction, and he's decided to keep it quiet until televising it. Like, what do you mean?
But a big part of what Don Van Natta did last night was there any regret from a journalistic standpoint? How do you feel about it? John Skipper was prominently featured. Bomani was in there a lot. And by the way, the social distancing with Bomani and Don Van Natta, very, very concerned.
They established at the beginning a lot of it was taped before the pandemic.
Okay, that would have been nice to know. I'm not sure they established it well enough. Yeah.
Maybe it would have been nice for you to know, but they established it at the top.
Listen, I'm worried about my friend Bomani and a Pulitzer Prize winner in Don Van Natta Jr. That's all I was saying at the time as I was watching it. Perhaps I missed that little snippet at the beginning. It was a great production. And the fact that Maverick Carter, after 29 uncomfortable minutes of questions being asked of LeBron James, wanted more questions after the decision, and Jim Gray turned to him and said, "Are you sure?"
I think one of the questions that they told him to ask was, did the weather play a factor? He's like, you really want me to ask that? They're like, oh, it's from the fans. In terms of people getting too close to Gutz, I thought the exact same thing. And it makes me wonder if the desks on television really just masked that. Because the last time I remember thinking, these people are way too close, couldn't they have gotten a wider frame camera, was when Dan was interviewing Pat Riley for Art of Conversation. And I'm like, man, their knees are basically touching right now. Everybody's really close together. I've never spoken to anyone this closely ever. Like, is the camera can't be moved a little bit further back just so that we can get some space there? Because I thought the exact same thing when Don Van Noten and Bomani were like right next to each other.
You guys are still doing this for stuff. Do you realize how much stuff is being rushed into your television right now based on what it is that was filmed long before now? Because I don't know what this drought is going to look like, but we're about to have a content drought, are we not? Like, in terms of being able to get new movies, new TV shows, like, none of these people can film. Nobody can be near each other. And everyone who is near each other, if they're wrestling in Jacksonville, they're getting a positive test. Like, we are about to have, we are going to be so starved for content in how long? In about 6 months, 7 months? And you're still going to be yelling at your television about people being too close together who filmed it 24 months ago.
I mean, I think the content is just getting started. You got NBA basketball. You'll have, you know, the Masters in November. I mean, not the content like movie content or new television series, but certainly the sports content. And let's keep in mind, Dan, we have a 5% chance of a baseball season starting and a 0% chance that it ends, according to Buster Olney. ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. Small business protection just got easier with more than 30 coverage options available. Progressive has you covered. More at progressivecommercial.com. Clean nose, healthy life. Make good nasal hygiene your new normal. I have. Go to Navage.com. That's NAVAGE.com. You'll love that clean nose feeling. Dan, it's time for Straight Talk. It is brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless.
So Dave Portnoy of Barstool has put on Twitter, after a video has surfaced of him saying that Colin Kaepernick looked like he was in ISIS and using the N-word, he says, "What's terrible is altering and cutting up a comedy site's video and giving no other context. Why was this part cut out? Oh, because it didn't fit the agenda." Now, I have not heard what this part is, and I'm not going to listen to it live on air because I just got this sent to me. But I don't know what the context is that you could possibly offer in this particular time of a white dude using the N-word, whether he's repeating rap lyrics or doing comedy or anything else. You saw it happen to Bill Maher. Bill Maher, this was before any of this. Bill Maher dared to use the N-word, and it's been taken out of the lexicon. It is now forbidden, Stugatz, for you to be somewhere on television and not have backlash over doing something like this. It's simply not, you cannot be the one doing, you cannot be a white person being seen using the N-word. I'm not even sure what the context would have to be, given that the Clemson football team gave you plenty of context on how it is that an assistant coach was repeating something. And the context, I guess, matters in making it from the most hateful of things to something slightly less hateful or something more understandable, but it's still not something that's okay anymore. Like, that, the day is over, Stugatz. It's done. That day is gone. Whatever, all these people who are apologizing for blackface from 20 years ago, like, all of these things that you see where names are being taken off of airports and campuses, like, it's done. The day is over. Like, this is whatever it is. I understand how people are looking at what's happening today, and it feels a bit scattershot, right? Because it is a little odd, Stugatz, that what you have happening is a call for equality, a call against racism, a call against police brutality, and we're taking John Wayne's name off an airport. We're taking Aunt Jemima off of a syrup bottle. We're taking the name off of some college because that guy has a past, or we're taking a statue outside of the Washington Racial Slurs facility out of there. Like, they're not, and by the way, the things that are being called for in protests all over the place are going to take decades to rectify. Policy reform, sure, they're not things that can be changed from day to day, but what is happening is just a scattershot frustration and butt covering with the idea that you can't do much of anything that will result in reform immediately today. The NFL can give $250 million over 10 years to causes, but not much of anything can change right now other than, Stugatz, if you're a white person, you can't be using the N-word nowadays. Like, that's it. It's pretty much an absolute. I don't know what context you could possibly offer me that wouldn't make that an absolute. And I'm saying that as somebody who hates absolutes.
Never should have used it in the first place. But this has been going on for a while, where we started going back into Josh Hader's Twitter timeline, his past when he was a kid. And I remember us questioning, like, how far back are we going to do this with each individual case? But I would ask you, Dan, because you asked me earlier, what would your advice be for Portnoy in a situation like this? Because do you just own it and say, I'll do better moving forward? I don't think you try to justify it. I don't think that's the way to go.
I just don't understand why that's so hard for people. I don't understand. It's not unlike this conversation that we're having about just wear a mask. Like, it's not an impingement on your freedom. It is not an impingement on our God-given American rights that the climate has shifted and a people who have been wailing for a long time have given voice to what offends them, and that has been taken away from white people. But, Stugatz, go ahead and try and take power from white people, or anybody for that matter, when they already have that power. People are going to be reluctant to give that up. I just don't understand why that is a power that you would want to defend. That particular thing where you can just say, man, look, I shouldn't have done that. My bad. I've learned. I won't use that word anymore. Even if, Stugatz, even if your constituency loves that you're perpetually unapologetic, it doesn't cost you anything to simply say, man, I shouldn't be using that word. Like, what's so hard about that?
But you're not independent like you once were. And I thought you brought up a very interesting point. They now have corporate partners, okay? They built that thing without partners. They now have corporate partners. And those corporate partners are going to want them to act a certain way moving forward. And so some contrition for the things they've done in the past. They are.
But their whole empire, Stugatz, is built upon we don't follow the rules like everyone else does.
Right.
We don't have corporate overlords. We're independent, and so we have more freedom than anybody else speaking at microphones. But I'm sorry, Stugatz, it is 2020. However free you are, you're not that free anymore. You're simply not. Like, this is not... If he continues to double down on this, if he continues to not understand how the flames are climbing on him, he's going to realize very soon that corporate backing will not stick around for this stuff. Look at all the stuff that corporations are doing, Stugatz. This is not a time to trust corporations. They're floating in the wind, going in a different direction than they've ever gone before, just trying to figure out. It's not like Aunt Jemima hasn't been on that bottle for a long time. Like, they don't know what to do. They feel helpless, so they're just doing a variety of different things that don't actually answer what it is that's being protested in the street. It's a variety of different stuff. And if you don't see that, like, I don't care how much money you have, Stugatz. I do not care. There is a reason Jerry Jones is hiding instead of saying anything, Stugatz. He's got all the money in the world, and there's a reason he's not getting anywhere near the microphones right now, because this is not the time to be saying the wrong thing.
That is Straight Talk. It is brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. Guest on the Dan Le Batard Show appear via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Here's your Sports Center update. The MLS said that 18 players and 6 staff members have tested positive for the coronavirus. Overall, 668 players have been tested since the start of full team training on June 4th with a positive test rate of 2.7%, which compares favorably to the 5.3% positive rate that the NBA recorded for its most recent round of testing of its players. Rudy Gobert still has trouble smelling after positive for the coronavirus in March. He told French newspaper El Equipe. And finally, Beyonce will return next month with a new visual album called Black is King. It's due out July 31st exclusively through Disney Plus. Want to breathe better, sleep deeper, snore less, feel healthier? Then take my advice and try Navage. I use it every single day to clean my nose and sinuses and absolutely love it. Go to Navage.com. That's N-A-V-A-G-E.com. Or you can visit your local Walgreens, CVS, Rite Aid, Bed Bath & Beyond, or Target. For all the latest headlines and information, tune in to SportsCenter on ESPN Radio all throughout the day.
So here is Richard Sherman's response to Cam signing with the Patriots, Stugatz. How many former league MVPs have had to sign for the minimum, asking for a friend? Just ridiculous. A transcendent talent, and less talented quarterbacks are getting $15, $16 million a year. Disgusting. It was weird, Stugatz, and it can't really be defended that the Bears gave Nick Foles guaranteed money and traded for him, and Cam Newton is out there signing for 1 year and the minimum. It's because it's not like Nick Foles wasn't terrible when returning from a broken collarbone. Like, he came back and Jacksonville's season somehow got worse because he rushed back from injury.
Well, the Jaguars originally gave him that contract when they thought he was healthy and thought, you know, was a guy that could be a starting quarterback and, you know, take his team deep into the playoffs based on what he did with the Eagles. I'm not saying it's fair with Cam Newton. I will remind, you know, the critics that he's 0-8 his last 8 starts. His body appeared to be broken last year. He was available. He was an MVP in 2015. It's not like anyone else was going after him. And so the Patriots got him, and they got him on the cheap.
Oh, no, the market spoke. The market spoke. It's just a funny thing to think about, because if I told you, like, if I told Bears fans, you know who you're going to have next year? Cam Newton. Don't you think they'd be more excited by that than Nick Foles?
100%. I think if you told teams who have very good quarterbacks they could have Cam Newton, good to very good quarterbacks, they'd be excited. If you told me the Jets were going to go out there this year with Cam Newton and not Sam Darnold, Dan, you know me, I'd be super excited. A former MVP 2015 as my starting quarterback, I'd rather have him than Sam Darnold. So, it seems odd that he was available available for this cheap.
Not that, you know, what the fans want is the way to run your franchise. But if I were to simply say to the audience right now, the Chicago Bears next season, they're going into the season with Cam Newton instead of Nick Foles. My guess is that people listening would find that to be a more formidable team than the one led by Nick Foles, because I just don't get how Nick Foles would be a something that is worth trading for, and Cam Newton wasn't something worth trading for.
I guess the argument for it is they kind of do have Cam Newton, or at least post-MVP, post-injury Cam Newton already with Mitchell Trubisky, which is an athletic guy that can't really make accurate throws. And the argument for Nick Foles is the familiarity with the system, the fact that he thrived under that coaching staff, and it requires a better passer than Cam Newton. But I'm with you. And it's not like you can even say that, oh, maybe they traded for Nick Foles before Cam Newton was released. No, the timeline doesn't suggest that. So it's puzzling. But I guess the health issues are why they couldn't find a trade partner to begin with.
How far can we push this out, though, where the fan base would be more excited with Cam Newton than the current quarterback that they have? Like, Bills fans would certainly be more excited if they had Cam Newton over Josh Allen. I think you hit it. I think opening segment, you said Niner fans. Would you rather have Cam Newton? Niners went to the Super Bowl last year. Would they rather have Cam Newton over Jimmy Garoppolo? I don't know.
The Bills already have a poor man's Cam Newton. That's who's
all his damage through the ground. Yeah. So again, that's a weird, might as well go with the younger quarterback in hopes that the that they have a higher ceiling. I don't really understand what the reasoning is, and I don't know how credible the reports are that the Patriots were also looking at Colin Kaepernick too, because that was the whole conversation. Well, why sign Colin Kaepernick if Cam Newton is out there? Now we can really have this conversation even more because Cam Newton's now snagged.
Put it on the poll, Guillermo. Would racism have ended if the Patriots had signed Cam Newton and Colin Kaepernick? Yes or no? Would racism have ended on the spot right there?
That's it? I mean, 400, 500 years, and that's it?
Man, I'm sure glad we're not doing the show where Jared Stidham wins that quarterback battle.
Did you see, Stugatz, what Sacha Baron Cohen did this week? And put this on the poll as well, Guillermo. Is Sacha Baron Cohen a genius? Because I think he absolutely is a genius. I don't know. I remember, Stugatz, there are not many entertainment vehicles. There are not a whole lot of entertainment vehicles where you remember where it is exactly you were that you discovered someone performing. But Sacha Baron Cohen as Ali G a long time ago, that has got to be 20 years ago, developed a character that was absolutely hysterical in terms of being a satirical look. I wonder, Mike, if we were to go back at, and view some Ali G, whether there would be some problematic stuff even going back there, because he was playing a sort of a hip-hop character who would go into these conservative settings and do interviews with people, and it was he played the fool, but the audience was in on the joke where the person being interviewed wasn't, and it was just a brilliant conceit that ended up furthering his career. But this, he's evidently, I guess he's making another movie, unless he's just doing public performance.
It could be
art.
A show. He had that show not too long ago. What? I forget the channel that it was on, and that's probably not good.
Showtime,
for
no?
Showtime, yeah, where he worked with Nathan Fielder behind the scenes, and it was sort of like a look at America. Maybe this is an extension of that project, maybe a season two.
There was America was in the title of whatever it is that that show was, and it was an uncomfortable, funny show. But what he did in Washington this weekend, Stugatz, is in a costume. And the reason he had to end the Ali G character is because it wasn't working anymore. People were on to him. He became too famous pulling these pranks on people. But now he's wearing sort of a different garb. His face is covered in facial hair. And he just went to an alt-right rally and did a racist sort of started on the stage, started a sing-along that was just simply it was simply racist, playing on the line, you know, that he plays on, which is sort of making fun of the hatred inside others by playing a character that supports their racism. If you saw it, you should look at it, Stugatz, because it's just, it's ridiculous for a number of different reasons. Not the least of which, though, is that it seems like a small smattering of people. They don't really need any musical entertainment, but there he is up on stage trying to lead a sing-along awkwardly. And the thing that amazes me about him, it is just consistently amazing to me, is he doesn't break character. I don't know how some of the stuff happening with him doesn't make him burst out laughing, because it's just so consistently laugh out loud absurd. There's literally nothing. There's no one doing what he did in Who Is America is the name of the show. Who Is America? There's simply nobody doing that. Stugatz, no one clever enough to do it. No one quick on their feet enough to do it. No one who's able to not break character while doing it. He must be the marvel of anybody in comedy who thinks about doing anything creative like that. Like, he must be...
Well, I mean, he's got... I don't know if you've ever watched Nathan For You, but he's... That's the Transformers assembling right there. The two best in the game at doing that, working on that project together. Sacha Baron Cohen, more of a performer, and certainly braver in terms of putting his face on the buzzsaw like that.
So good. He really is. I think he's a genius, Stugatz.
He performed at the Academy Awards. It wasn't too long ago. He's a presenter and performed at the Academy Awards, the 88th Academy Awards. So, but I do wonder how that's going to be received and if it's acceptable.
Were you just reading
forward.
A computer there?
Well, I was wondering the last time we had seen Ali G. I was trying to find that information because you had asked it and no one else was looking it up.
The 88th Academy Awards just killed me.
I don't know what year the 88th Academy Awards were, but his last appearance, because Dan asked it and I sensed no one was looking it up, were the 88th Academy Awards,
wow,
where
okay.
We saw Ali G. Yeah.
Thank you.
Cha-ching! Time for some ads.
That was acceptable then. I wonder if it's acceptable now.
Advance Auto Parts, people. You were useless that segment, Sugat.
ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. Today is for doing, and today we celebrate progress, thanks to, among other things, pressure from the Southeastern Conference and athletes at the University of Mississippi and Mississippi State University. The State House and State Senate voted yesterday to retire the Confederate battle emblem from its state flag. When Governor Tate Reeves signs the bill, a commission will design a new flag that must have the words, "In God We Trust," without any Confederate emblem, which voters will vote to approve during the November 3rd general election. Today is for doing, and it's brought to you by the Home Depot with everything you need to do projects smarter, faster, and easier. Welcome to today's Home Depot, how doers get more done.
From Adam Schefter's podcast, Adam Schefter says that the Patriots were the only team to offer Cam Newton anything, and that only one other team even talked to Cam Newton, and that was Mike Ryan's beloved Cleveland Browns.
Wow. Really?
Why did that make you smile so much?
That's fascinating, because I got the former number one overall pick. That, I mean, that's surprising. I know that Odell Beckham Jr. worked with Cam Newton, so maybe they were following up on what Odell had to say, but that's really interesting.
It makes you wonder how they feel about Baker Mayfield, does it not?
Honestly, it makes me wonder more about the other teams not even talking to Cam Newton.
Talking to him seems to be an easy thing to do.
Bare minimum stuff here.
I am.
I mean, talking to him.
I don't even think the talking point is, man, what are the Browns doing talking to Cam Newton? It's really, what is like everybody else doing not?
That's exactly right. Like, why wouldn't you, if Cam Newton is picking up the phone, why wouldn't you simply be calling?
I mean, I guess in the case, do you want Josh Allen and Sam Darnold to know that, you know, now Baker Mayfield knows that the Browns were interested in a veteran quarterback who was the MVP in 2015? You want your young quarterback knowing that there's some interest in somebody else? I mean,
if my young quarterback can't withstand that, I really don't want him facing boos in an opposing stadium in the fourth quarter down by seven. If he can't handle the idea that my GM called Cam Newton, former MVP, who has done just a little more in the league than you have.
Could have just been seeing if the number still works. I really don't understand why no one else did this.
I love how Stu Gatz protects the feelings of innocent young quarterbacks for some reason.
Oh, I love young quarterbacks. I mean, I don't know if you want to mess with their minds, Dan. You know what I'm saying? I don't know if that's a smart strategy. Like, I think that's probably the reason the Niners didn't really reach out to Cam Newton. You don't want to mess with Jimmy Garoppolo's mind, although they did readily admit that they were interested in Tom Brady.
Did you see some numbers here on Matthew Stafford? Matthew Stafford just turned 32, but through age 31, Stu Gatz, Stafford is first in attempts, first in completions among all quarterbacks ever through the age of 31. First in attempts, first in completion, second in yards, third in touchdowns. And Matt Stafford is the one quarterback, Stu Gatz, the one. I don't do it with any other quarterbacks because Matt Stafford is an above-average quarterback, but he can't beat anybody good. And I don't do winning on quarterbacks, but he's the one guy who never beats anybody who's good.
Which is odd, considering that he's good. I mean, we agree.
I think he's above average. I think he's an above average quarterback. And yet, they never do any winning, which is, something that a lot of people use to indict him. But it's not never doing anything, any winning that bothers me. It's that I just can't remember any good teams he ever beat. Ever.
I mean, he's had to beat the Packers once.
They beat
right?
the Patriots. Bill Belichick always gifts one to a former coordinator.